timer.
I like that.
Before I begin, I'd like to just say a prayer. Father, thank you so much for bringing us here together. Thank you for giving us a special day of remembrance of the resurrection of the Son. Mm-hmm. I do pray, Lord, that we who worship and follow Christ, that we would celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection on a daily basis, that we would live because of that in our lives, Father. We're so thankful for all that you do. Please be with me now. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be from you, and get me out of the way. We love you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
This is such a great time of year, you know. It's Resurrection Sunday. In springtime, so much is coming to life, springing to life. We have flowers and trees are blooming, and we have people coming out of their houses and going for walks. We get to meet people. So much vibrancy this time of year. A great thing is that the snow is gone. I know you don't see snow here too often. But I just saw some news from Boston the other day. There was no snow on the streets. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Although tomorrow marks kind of an anniversary that we had a snowstorm in Boston on April 1st. Late 90s, I guess. We had some single brothers had come over to watch a movie with us, and about 11 o'clock they said, we better just cut out. The movie didn't finish, but we better leave because we got to get home. And then we opened the door and they couldn't see their car. It was covered with snow. The snow was like this high at the storm door, so we could see it piled up there. I don't think we'll see that here. I don't think we'll see that. But you know, Easter is special to me for a very crazy reason. You know, about 60 years ago, the only religious thing I ever remember doing in our family was on Easter, and it wasn't really religious. We didn't go to church or anything, but my mom loved to buy us new clothes. Yes. And I remember one year there was my sister and my younger brother and I. The other two weren't born yet, so I was about 6 years old, I think. And my mom bought us these new blazers and a fedora. It was so I loved that hat. I was so proud of that hat. I wore it to school every day. I wore it and I wore it out. I loved that fedora. It's just kind of a reminder of what has happened. This once holy, holy day has come to dressing kids up. It's candy and things of that nature. You know, 2 days out of the year, church buildings everywhere fill up. We're coming down Ridgeland today, and there's a church right here on the right. Normally, we can just zoom right past, but they had cars parked on both sides of the road. Their parking lot was full. They had cops out there directing traffic because it's one of those 2 days. Mm-hmm. What are those 2 days? Mm-hmm. We have Easter and Christmas. Oh, and that's it. What has happened? Why are Christians, people who call themselves Christians, going to church 2 times a year? Jesus died so we could go to church 2 times a year? I don't think so. And honestly, like I just said earlier, shouldn't we Christians celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection, the birth of Jesus, every year? I mean, every day?
Yeah.
It should be every day. But instead, these church buildings fill up, and people come in and they say their amens and they're out. These holidays have become about candy and new clothes and bunnies or toys and elves on shelves. It's just ridiculous that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, this is the pinnacle of all human history. Nothing in all of human history can compare to and can affect as many people as the death, burial, and resurrection. World War II is a horrible time, but the amount of people impacted was minuscule compared to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus, he came and he died for all of our sins. Not just us, all of our sins, the whole world. But he died that for any of us who believe, who accept his message and believe and are baptized, we get to partake in that resurrection. You know, Jesus was in heaven with God, with the Father from the beginning. And he did something so amazing. He left heaven and took on the form of a baby. He lived a life perfect, a perfect human being. And in doing so, he made himself the perfect best sacrifice and payment for our sins. I usually can say propitiation, but for all sins, all of all time, he stepped up willingly and he took our place. You know, we see that cross behind it. He took our place. He paid the penalty for our sins in order that we can come before God with no trespass. We can come to God because Jesus made himself perfect through what he suffered. Hebrews 4 tells us that through his suffering and through his perfect response to all things, he was able to take our sins on himself. That there is a one that he calls the accuser, the devil, who is before God regularly trying to accuse us, or maybe he's accusing us to our own conscience, mm-hmm. but he's accusing, he is the accuser. Mm-hmm. But Jesus says, oh no, that one's on me. Mm-hmm. No, that one, that's on me too. And that's what this death, burial, and resurrection is all about. In doing that, he became the answer. He became the only Lord and Savior of the world. The only way that anybody can come to God through Jesus because of his sacrifice, because of his resurrection. After his death, this is an amazing thing to me, but after Jesus' death, by his own power and authority, he took back life from the grave.
Yep.
He took his own life from the grave. That's, wow. The hairs on my arms just stood up. He took his life back and he came to live we could say a new life. But isn't it the same life? He just went on being perfect. And then he could have, that would have been enough, I think. That would have been enough. He died for our sin. He raised from the dead for our hope and encouragement. He could have just gone back to heaven, but he didn't. He spent another 40 days on earth. And it's funny, I was working on this message for a week and a half or so, and I was gonna And my heart kind of dropped when Richard came up and said, open to John 21. And because I was going to read the exact same scriptures about what some of the things that Jesus did when he came back. That 40 days he spent, Acts chapter 1 tells us that he spent 40 days with his disciples giving many proofs that he was indeed alive. In John chapter 3, Jesus told Nicodemus that no one could ever see the kingdom of God unless he was born again. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Jesus proclaims that in baptism we are joined with Christ in his death. And that in coming up out of the water, we are raised to a new life. That it is that resurrection that made the power of baptism. And it's not water itself. God could have chosen anything. He could have just chosen a prayer, but he didn't. It's in that baptism that we are joined with the Savior in his death in order that we could also be joined with him in his resurrection. And by his resurrection, Jesus proclaims salvation to the world, to all who will accept him. It was an amazing love. What is such love? What should our response be? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 14, it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. From all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That was that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Wow. Has such love ever been seen in all of human history?
No.
No, there's never before and never since has anyone loved the way Jesus loved. And what is our response to that? The Bible tells us that we should be compelled. We should feel in our hearts motivated that we cannot help but share the gospel with those we come in contact with. That we are ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ. No one but Jesus has ever intentionally stepped into our shoes and taken a punishment that was due us. Nobody but Jesus could ever do such a thing. And the love that Jesus has shown me continues to compel me to live this new life. What is this new life? It is the new person on the inside. I'm not talking about external stuff, about stopping drugs, stopping sleeping around, or smoking, or cursing. All those things are external, and they honestly, those are easy. Those are the easy things that we stop. Even pagans do that. I mean, anybody can decide to quit smoking. anybody can decide to be stop sweeping around to become a husband or a wife, a spouse of just a single person. Anybody can do that. We don't need a resurrected Christ to do that. Jesus died so that we could be made new on the inside. You know, even though we are supposed to change, even though we're trying to change, I ask you, I'm sure that you are a different person today than you were the day you were baptized, mm-hmm. the day before you were baptized. Mm-hmm. But I hope that, especially most of us have been in the Lord for a number of years. We should be different today on the inside, more empathetic, more loving, less judgmental than we were 10 years ago or last year. Shouldn't we be continuing to grow in this likeness of Christ, the compulsion that is for each one of us as we continue to live this resurrected life? I want to read in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 20. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood, speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again, we read that earlier, that he says, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. But we once regarded Christ in this way. This resurrection life is called this. This is not a one-time thing. It calls for to live a different life, a life that we never could have imagined before Christ. When I was growing up, when I was a young man, I did not like the life I lived. I didn't like the kind of people I was with. But I didn't know how to make it any different. I didn't know how to change until I saw a young man who I had known who had changed. And it was his changed life that made all the difference in the world to me. I owe him my life, my soul now, because he changed his life, and he made it known to me. And he eventually invited me to study the Bible. And because of that, nearly 40 years later, I get to stand before you and tell my story. We are called to live a different life, a resurrected life, to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. It should spill over to how we talk, how we treat other people, how we feel about other people. It's not always easy. I know how difficult it is. I was at one time so intent on the news and politics and all that stuff, but it was ruining me. I was starting to feel angry all the time. Because you know, a news station isn't about news, not anymore. They're all about opinions. Yeah. And if somebody didn't agree with me, I would just start going to fits. I had to get away from it. But it's like that for all kinds of things in life. Some people can't be around sports because of the way that they get to be. It's just a terrible thing how the inside of us, we continually need to be changing. growing. You know, I don't like to be tempted to wish evil on people. I don't like to be tempted to hate or to. It's just a terrible thing for me. And Christ calls me to be a different kind of person. Mm-hmm. He calls me to live a resurrected life. Matthew 5, I love the way Jesus teaches. He says, this is what you heard, but this is how it should be. Mm-hmm. This outward action is bad, but it's only a symptom of what's inside. Matthew 5, starting in 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That last line, that can really get you if you spend time meditating on it. But that word perfection or perfect here, it refers to being complete. It refers to maturity. Not to how we view perfection as being without any flaw, but being mature and complete. But it is amazing what Jesus talks to our hearts, to our inside, and not just to the actions that we do, but to the source of those actions. You know, Jesus in one place says to if you wash the inside of the cup, the outside is going to be fine. It's not the outside that we need to worry about. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, it's not how cute you might look or how great your clothes are. It's not whether you're fit or not. No, it's about who you are on the inside. Mm-hmm. We should all be fit, and we all want to look the best we can. But those are just outward. Jesus was concerned almost completely by what's on the inside. By the power of his resurrection, Jesus calls us, his followers, to love their enemies and to pray for those who persecute them. These are not just recommendations, though. These are commands from God, from Jesus. These are commands from our Lord. And the one thing we need to remember is that if you won't have a Lord and Master, you can't have a Savior. Mm-hmm. If Jesus is not Master, the Lord of your life, the lens to which you view life, if he's not that, then he says we need to do that in order for him to be our Savior. If you look into remember the Gospels, Jesus always taught against the sin, didn't teach against the sinful actions. He taught about what was in the heart. He addresses the hearts of those who will follow him. So what does all this mean? What does all this mean to us in Paul? In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul tells us, he says that God left us here on earth to be ambassadors for Jesus. An ambassador is not a part-time job. It's not even a full-time job. To be an ambassador is your life. If you are appointed an ambassador to a country from the United States, your whole life represents America to the world outside. You go and immerse yourself in that country where you are the ambassador. You live there, you eat there, you sleep there, and everything you do is observed. Everything you do is paid attention to, because you are the ambassador and you are the representation of Christ to those people or your country. How much more if we are ambassadors for Christ? Our lives every day, not just when on church, not just when we're around each other, but every day our lives, we are representative of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do it, who will? If we don't do it, there won't be anyone being saved.
Yeah.
It is only us who can do it. And the only way that they're going to be compelled to see the Savior is if they see a little bit of Jesus in us.
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing as an ambassador? How are you doing as a representation of Jesus in this lost world?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really big question. That's what the resurrection is all about.
Yes.
Just like Jesus had a little bit more to do, he stayed another 40 days. He leaves us here on earth for that one purpose. He doesn't leave us here to make money, although we probably need to make money in order to survive. He doesn't leave us here to get married. He doesn't even leave us here to become happy.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves us here in order that the world can come to know him, in order that this world can be saved. That's what resurrection is all about, is knowing the Savior and living for the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would just say that this resurrected life that we're called to live, that is a life, a new life from within. And we celebrate Resurrection Sunday every week, every day. We celebrate and newness of life and newness of heart. We don't let the things of this world deter us or distract us from our mission.
Mm-hmm.
We need to live that resurrected life every day.
Yes.
And I praise God that we get to have this celebration once a year, but we need to do it with our lives every day.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.